"You're dead," said Harry.
"Oh, yes," said Dumbledore matter-of-factly.
"Then I'm dead too?"
"Ah," said Dumbledore, smiling still more broadly. "That is the question, isn't it? On the whole, dear boy, I think not."
They looked at each other, the old man still beaming.
"Not?"
repeated Harry.
"Not,"
said Dumbledore.
"But..."
Harry raised his hand instinctively toward the lightning scar. It did not seem to be there.
"But I should have died. I didn't defend myself. I meant to let him kill me." "And that," said Dumbledore, "will, I think, have made all the difference."
Happiness seemed to radiate from Dumbledore like light, like fire. Harry had never seen the man so utterly, so palpably content.
"Explain," said Harry. "But you already know," said Dumbledore.
He twiddled his thumbs together.
"I let him kill me," said Harry.
"Didn't I?"
"You did," said Dumbledore, nodding. "Go on."
"So, the part of his soul that was in me..." Dumbledore nodded, still more enthusiastically, urging Harry onward, a broad smile of encouragement on his face.
"Has it gone?" "Oh, yes," said Dumbledore. "Yes, he destroyed it. Your soul is whole and completely your own, Harry."
"But then..." Harry glanced over his shoulder to where the small, maimed creature trembled under the chair.
"What is that, Professor?" "Something that is beyond either of our help," said Dumbledore.
"But if Voldemort used the killing curse," Harry started again, "and nobody died for me this time, how can I be alive?"
"I think you know," said Dumbledore. "Think back. Remember what he did in his ignorance, in his greed and his cruelty."
Harry thought. He let his gaze drift over his surroundings. If it was indeed a palace in which they sat, it was an odd one, with chairs set in little rows and bits of railing here and there. And still, he and Dumbledore and the stunted creature under the chair were the only beings there. Then the answer rose to his lips easily, without effort.
"He took my blood," said Harry. "Precisely," said Dumbledore. "He took your blood and rebuilt his living body with it. Your blood in his veins, Harry. Lily's protection inside both of you. He tethered you to life while he lives."
"I live? While he lives? But I thought it was the other way around. I thought we both had to die. Or is it the same thing?" He was distracted by the whimpering and thumping of the agonized creature behind them and glanced back at it yet again. "Are you sure we can't do anything?"
"There is no help possible."
"Then explain more," said Harry, and Dumbledore smiled.
"You were the seventh Horcrux, Harry, the Horcrux he never meant to make. He had rendered his soul so unstable that it broke apart when he committed those acts of unspeakable evil, the murder of your parents, the attempted killing of a child. But what escaped from that room was even less than he knew. He left more than his body behind. He left part of himself, latched to you, the would-be victim who had survived. And his knowledge remained woefully incomplete, Harry. That which Voldemort does not value, he takes no trouble to comprehend. Of house elves and children's tales, of love, loyalty, and innocence, Voldemort knows and understands nothing. Nothing. That they all have a power beyond his own, a power beyond the reach of any magic, is a truth he has never grasped. He took your blood, believing it would strengthen him. He took into his body a tiny part of the enchantment your mother laid upon you when she died for you. His body keeps her sacrifice alive, and while that enchantment survives, so do you, and so does Voldemort's one last hope for himself.